Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thank you for joining us here today. Friends, this is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. All we need to do is go to where he speaks. He speaks 24/7. He speaks loud and clear as much as you would like to hear. And that is going to be through his word. We're going to hear a sermon now. This is entitled The Long Night, and it's three chapters. It's one long sermon. We're in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. This first sermon here is from chapter 15. Not going in any order. Really don't need to go in order. We're in Acts 15. We're in the Gospel of John chapter 15. We're in the book of Acts on Sunday morning, and that's where we just were at here yesterday. The day of Pentecost was my sermon from yesterday. You'll hear that later on here on the radio. Those are some of the things going on here at the church. This is a series from about a year or a year and a half ago. Famous chapters of the Bible, John 14, 15, and 16. Wednesday nights, my associate pastor is going to be teaching the book of Philippians verse by verse. It's Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock. Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. If you're looking for a new church home, if you enjoy this radio show, if you're new to the area, I invite you to attend one of our services. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Sunday mornings at 10:30, we are in the book of Acts. So, okay, here we go. This is part two now. This is the long night. We are in the Gospel of John, and we're in chapter 15.
The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Boy, here I am trying to get away from blood, and look what happens. You just can't escape it. You can't escape. Like the Lord Jesus said, how can you escape the condemnation of hell if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? I try to run away from it, and I go somewhere else, and look what happens. I didn't even realize that until now. Wait a minute. We're here to get away from blood, and now we go to get away from blood, and there it is again. This is not God's future for you. He doesn't want this. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that's the parable of the true vine. You don't want to find out what it means. You don't want to find out what it means to be cast off as a branch. Don't worry about what it means. Don't let it happen to you. I don't think it can happen to you, because if it did, there'd be no one left. There'd be no one left. But again, though, the Lord Jesus said that you will know them by their fruits. Okay, now let's move on here to verse 16. Back to John chapter 15, verse 16. Maybe you say, but you didn't answer the first question. The answer to the first question is strive. Strive. Right? When they said to the Lord, they said, Lord, are there a few that'll be saved? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said, strive. Greek word agonizo, where our word agoni comes from. Same word used for running a race, agona. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. The answer is to strive. It's not yes, there's many, or no, there's few. The answer for you and me is to strive. It's to cross the finish line in faith. Now, verse 16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so he chose you and he appointed you. Now look at the so that here. Meaning there's a reason for it. Look why he did it. That's what the so that is here for. I chose you. I appointed you. The King James says, I ordained you. And then with the word so that, this is the reason why. Look why he chose you. Look why he's appointed you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Let's call that lasting fruit, fruit that's done in the name of Jesus, not your own fruit. Only what's done for Christ will last. I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain so that, now there's another so that, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now don't even say to yourself, well, he was just talking to them. That is regarding being called or chosen. Or as for me, I decided to quit running and I decided to make my own decision for Christ. When in actuality, he's made a decision for you. It's not you've made a decision for him. He's made a decision for you. You did not choose him. So don't say to yourself, well, he's only talking to the apostles. He's only talking about the 12. No, he's not. He's talking about you. You did not decide one day, well, you know what, I'm tired of running. I think I'm just going to just turn to him now, trust in the man upstairs and all that other jazz. It don't work that way. You did not choose him. He has chosen you. He has made a decision for you. Think about that. He has said, you, I choose you. Like picking teams at picking sides at kickball. Didn't you hate it when they didn't pick you? I guess I was always chosen in kickball. If I had anything going for me. With him, you're not left behind. Because the promise is that whosoever that will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, don't get that spiritual truth backwards, that you chose him. Because that's not the way salvation works. Salvation works, he has chosen you. Ephesians 1:4. It says, just as he, capital H, that's Jehovah, just as he chose us. That would be you. He's not talking about apostles. He's talking about you. You did not choose him. He's chosen you. And that is some pretty good news, if you ask me. Amen. It's what caused the Apostle Paul to say, if God is for me, then who in the world could possibly be against me? God's on my side. Is there anyone here in this room that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to single you out. Raise your hand if you've rejected him. You have? Oh, yeah, before, stand in line, sister. I can say it a nice way, get thee behind me. No one here, I didn't ask who was perfect. Therefore, God has chosen you. That's good news today. That should be the wind in your sails today, that no, just like that, like Isaiah said, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, because God is for you. God has chosen you. You didn't choose him, he chose you. You can't help but succeed, because he's lost none. Again, let me try this verse, Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us, notice that's in the past. It's not he will choose you. If you left enough money in that offering plate, he will. No, that's not what he already did it. He's already chosen you. And it's not based on anything that you have done. No one has to pray you out of purgatory. You don't have to buy a new wing for the church. All you got to do is believe. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what's required of you. All you got to do. You don't need to burn one calorie like me up here. All who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's try a third time to read this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, so that, here's another so that. Here's another so that for why he chose you, why he called you. So that we would be holy, that means set apart. Hagiasmos, set apart. That means apart from this old evil world. Holy is to be set apart for special use by the Master. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Meaning, he felt like doing it. Any objections? No. God chose you because he felt like it. According to the good pleasure of his will. That wasn't spoken to an apostle. That was spoken to you. To as many as the Lord our God will call. Acts 13:48, it says, when the Gentiles heard this message, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. So know and understand, as the Lord taught the disciples, as the Apostle Paul taught all of humanity 30 years later, you did not choose him, he chose you. And as for you, if you have been chosen, and if you are not yet a Christian, but you've been chosen, even if maybe you raised your hand that you have rejected him, you were still chosen before the foundation of the world. That doesn't change for you. If you secretly raised your hand in here, you raised it in your heart and you were scared to raise it here in the church. You still were chosen from before the foundation. So what? I accepted maybe 20 years before you. You still were called before any of this. And that would make you a powder keg of spiritual dynamite. Just waiting to explode. All you need is a match. You're a walking spiritual keg of dynamite. You've been chosen before the foundation of the world. All I need is a match. Set it on fire. All call in the name of the Lord will be saved. These are matches. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would not perish, but will have everlasting life. You see, that lights the fire. But understand, you were called, you were chosen before he made any of this. You can be a walking keg of dynamite waiting to explode. All your son and daughter needs is a match. All your friend or your coworker needs is a match. That's it. They're a keg of dynamite waiting to explode. They're waiting for you to light that match. Simple as that. You don't need to do the work. He's already done the work. But faith comes by hearing, like Pastor Darren was teaching this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's all you got to do is light the match. Light the fuse and let God do the work. He does the saving. Also in verse 16, look where this ultimately leads to. Again, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain so that, there's another so that whatever you may ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. He's talking to you. Now, I'm not there yet. And the reason for that is I've yet to make a distinction between what I want and what he is leading me to pray for. Remember, Galatians 2:20 is a key to understand this. The Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It's no longer I who live. But as Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's no longer I who live, but as Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Remember that today. Christ lives in me. When we get this right, then John 15:16 will be evident in our lives as well. And remember, this falls on us, not on him. This falls on us, not on him. If we're not receiving something the word has promised, it's on us. It's not on him. We're the ones that have to make some kind of change or some soul searching to position ourselves toward receiving the promises of God. For example, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So get this part right, and then the rest of the verse will define your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the comma, and after the comma is, and then all of these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. Make his righteousness the hill that you choose to defend. Amen. And then all these things will be added unto you. Seek him first. Put him first. All right, on to verse 17. Let's not skip over the most important verse of all. John 15:17. He says, these things I suggest to you. Not what it says, Captain. He says, these things I command you. That you love one another. 1 John 4:20. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And this commandment that John is talking about, he heard it on this night, the night before the Lord was betrayed by the son of perdition, this night before that he died. That's where he heard that, he's given this instruction here. All right, verse 18. Though I could do a 48-week series on love, but I'm trying to get through this chapter. Because if we get that one wrong, then we've missed it all, right? Verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So the world does hate you, right? No, I'm talking to you. The world does hate you, right? You see, he's assuming that it does. He's assuming that it does. I mean, at least hate what you stand for. The world said at least hate what you stand for. So what do you stand for anyway? I can hear the haters now. Here comes that little so-and-so always telling me that God loves me. Heaven's the Murgatroyd. Someone tells you that God loves you. Boy, what a terrible thing your neighbor's done to you. They strung him up on the cross for saying it. Simple things like that. I say to you, what do you stand for? Or how about this one? Here comes that person that won't approve of my sin. Like everyone else and all my other friends and the government and everyone else approves of my sin. That will have this world hate you. And he's assuming that it already does. I love that story in the book of Kings when they're seeking out the advice of a true prophet. 1 Kings 22:7. Now Jehoshaphat says, is there not still a prophet of the Lord left here so that we can inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we got one guy left in the whole town that follows God, and I hate him. That's the way it's going to be with you when you stick up and defend. Take that hill, his righteousness. Choose that hill to defend and to die on. And this is going to be the end result of this kind of stuff. This ought to define you. He said, I chose you out of the world. He said, I chose you out of the world. Catch the word therefore. There. Because he chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Now, the Lord Jesus said this in Luke 6:26. He says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. There is something wrong with you when this world speaks well of you. Because the message of it's an offense to this world. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So if the President of the United States asks you to come and give the invocation at his inauguration, then right off the bat, I, friend, am suspicious of you. It is what it is. The Lord Jesus said the world hates you if you're faithful to him and if you're faithful to the truth. All right, now let's wrap up this chapter, verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I've said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, then they will keep yours also. Well, naturally, when your words are his words, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake because they did not know him who sent me. So there's the problem, all condensed to one verse. All the evil that people do and will do to you, they do it because they don't know God and because they don't have a relationship with him. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Now that would be the sin of unbelief. See, this is the unpardonable sin today. This is the unpardonable sin today. Saying no to the man in the glory. You cannot be forgiven of that. Because he's provided your pardon. How can you get pardon if you reject the pardon? It's a free pardon he's offering you. All you got to do is receive it. It's the unpardonable sin today. Now turn with me to John chapter 9, verse 39. John 9, 39. John 9, 39. Just about done. Okay, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees that were with him, when they heard these words, they said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we can see. Therefore, your sin remains. See, no one can say to God on judgment day, you are not fair to me. Even the Lord himself has just said twice now that since you are not blind and since you are able to see, since you have been presented with the truths concerning the Messiah, since you have been presented with the truth, that you now have no excuse. You've heard that he is Lord. Once you reject him, you have no excuse. So perhaps you'd say, well, what about those in the Old Testament? Well, the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. What's required of you and I is faith. Back in that time, it pointed to the cross. We look back at the cross. What's required of you and I is faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Old and New Testament alike, you have been presented with the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 4:12, I leave you with that verse. This verse that says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.